Good morning. Let's just pray briefly. Father, we just come. We just come as we are this morning, Lord God. It's in you that we move and live and have our being, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we can just come as we are now, Lord. And enter in, Lord God. We bless you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about intimacy with God this morning. And there's some lights here that are shining that are like right on my eyes and I'm squinting. Can that be? Okay, thank you. So we're going to be talking about intimacy with the Father this morning. And intimacy with the Father means to know Him. It's not about knowing about Him. It's knowing Him. And that word intimacy, a long time ago, I learned what that word actually means is in to me see. And God invites us to see Him as He is. And as we come to see Him and know Him as He is, not what we think or what others say or maybe what we were brought up with, but who He says He is, then we come to see ourselves as He sees us. And that is what it's all about. We can look at intimacy and we can say that the word of intimacy means time. Because if we're going to have intimacy with the Father, it means spending time with the Father. And you've had messages through this fasting period that you've gone through. And that fasting has brought you back to that place of focus. It's brought you back to that place of alignment to where you know that it's all about Him. It's not about what you can get from Him. It's about coming to Him. And so we're in that place of coming to know Him. And that word know is yada in the Hebrew. And that means to ascertain by seeing. So into me, see, okay? It means to ascertain by seeing. It's careful observation. It's time in His presence. It's to know for a certainty. It's to an understand. You have an understanding of who He is. You have to be diligent. It causes us to discern. And when we come to that place of intimacy with Him, about knowing Him, we become endued with Him. And that's what it's about. The word yada, the first time we find that in Genesis 4, it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord." That's intimacy. Okay? That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the intimacy where a child was conceived. That's the intimacy, the knowing of God that He's talking about in that word yada, to know Him. To know Him is initiated by Him. We were created in His image for Him, right? And we know that Adam and Eve sinned, but we know that God sent His only begotten Son who became sin for us, right? Him who knew no sin became sin for us so that we become the righteousness of God. So that which separated us when Adam and Eve sinned, okay, God made right with Jesus. And so that now we have that full ability to boldly come before the throne of grace and to come into that place of intimacy. Satan came right from the beginning to steal and to kill and destroy. To steal that place of identity, that place that we had with the Father of knowing Him. And ever since then, God's children have been running or eluding the trueness of who He is, the identity of who He is, because of what Satan done. When they were alone in the garden, it said they were naked. And that's what intimacy is about. It's about coming to the Father just as you are. It's about coming and letting it all hang out. That may not be good English, but that's exactly what it means. And we know that David, who was a man after God's own heart, and when you read through the Psalms, you find out that he came just as he was. He came when he was angry. He came when he was disappointed. He came when he was hurting. He came when he was depressed. And he told God exactly how he felt. And God never chided him, and He never rebuked him. That's what intimacy is all about, coming just as you are to the Father. And as we come to Him, we come in that place of where We come to see him as he is. We also find out how he sees us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. I asked the Father when I was talking to him about intimacy, because, I mean, that's something you experience, and so how do you share an experience? But I said, God, what does intimacy to you mean? And he said, for Ina, I so loved you that I gave my only begotten son for you, that if you would believe in him, you should not perish, but have eternal life. And so that is intimacy. That's what God did for us, so that we could have intimacy with him. That's the definition of intimacy with the Father. He gave us his best. And how can we not come into that place of fellowship, of longing, of knowing him, when he gave us his best? We know that God wants to be known from the beginning of time, because what? He created us in whose image? His image. He didn't make John Doe over here and create us in his image. He created us in his image. Why? Because he wanted us to know him and us to be known by him. We know that in Exodus 33, Moses said to God, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you." And that word is yada, okay? "And that I may find grace in your sight." And God assured him that his presence would go with him, and that he would give him rest. In the place of intimacy with God, we find rest. We find completeness. We find blessing. In the place of intimacy, we find that place of where there's sanctification. We're separated and set apart for him. In Jeremiah 9:23-24, God says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." And we know that in the Old Testament, God talks about the Israelites, how he was angry with them. They wanted to know his acts, but they didn't want to know his ways. He said, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And too many today that say that they are Christians and that they believe in God, they know about him, but they don't know him. They honor him with their lips, but they don't honor them with their hearts. And they even fear him because they're commanded to do so, not because they have a reverential awe of him. And if we really know the Father, we have to have a reverential awe of him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel 11:32, God's word tells us it's those who know their God, right? That's words yada, who know him intimately, not know about him, but know him intimately, that will be strong and do mighty exploits. We are in a time where God is raising the warriors up, and it's the warriors who know him who are going to be on the front lines. They are the warriors. Those who know about him are not called warriors. They are not the ones who prevail. They are not the ones who conquer. We want to make sure that we're a person of intimacy in this time and in this hour as never before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If I were to ask what eternal life means to you, I think each of you would probably have several things you could say, right? When you think of eternal life. So if I say, what is eternal life? Think a minute what you would answer. I'm not going to have you speak that out loud, but think a minute about what you would answer. I think people miss this part. John 17:3, this is what God says eternal life is. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that we may know him. And thank God that we can know him on this side of heaven, right? It doesn't start after we get to heaven. It starts right now. And we can never fully know him on this side of heaven, but it starts now. This is eternal life, that we may know him. That is intimacy with the Father, to know him. John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So eternal life is all about knowing him in the place of intimacy. It's not about going to heaven and never having pain or sorrow again. It's about knowing him. It's about sitting at his feet and knowing him. It's about spending time with him. It's about coming to him and climbing up on his lap and sharing all the hurt and all the pain and all the sorrow that you have. It's about being raw and being real with him. And coming in that place, knowing that he's not going to rebuke me, but he's going to listen. And then he's going to tell me. He's going to enlighten my way so that he shows me then what I need to know in that situation, where my heart is wrong, where my heart is too hard, where I need to ask for forgiveness, where I need to go and make a wrong right, where he just wants to comfort me and console me, because that's what I need. That's what it's all about. Intimacy with the Father, coming to know him. Thank you, Jesus. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Thank you, Lord. We have to abide with God in order to have intimacy with him, in order to know him. And that word means to stay in a given place. It's not a place that we just visit on Sunday, okay? In fact, we can't even have true intimacy just by coming to church on Sunday. True intimacy, Jesus was our example. What did he do? He went alone to a solitary place. He went to the secret place where the Father was. And he shut the door that we're supposed to do. Jesus gives us the example. When you pray, go into your secret place and shut that door. That means shut the cares of the world away. Go away. Be alone with him. That doesn't mean I have to go on a retreat for a week or a month to be alone with him. It means that I can do that every day, whether it's in my car or whether it's in my home. God tells us in Psalm 46, I think it is, to be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and come and sit with him. And that's generally what I do, how I start out. I either go sit in a chair or I lay in bed and I just come and say, good morning, Father. And I don't say anything else and I don't turn on the music. A couple of years ago, the Lord just gave me to, you know, talk to me about when you're in the car, when you're alone with me, I don't want to hear the music. If there's music, it's between the Spirit and you singing to me. And now that is not something that you have to do, okay? That's what he spoke to me, because he's a personal God and he's personal with you. He knows what works with you. He knows what will help you to come to that place. But for me, it was being quiet. So for the last couple of years, there's no radio that's turned on in my car. I just come into that place, and I sit with him. And as I drive, I'm either quiet and listening, or I'm praying, or all of a sudden, I'll hear the Spirit singing a song, and I join in. Intimacy with the Father. And I'm refueled, and I'm refired, and he can correct me. And he can say, that was good. That was good what you did. That was good that you went and asked them to forgive you. He can give me that recognition in that lone place. So we want to make sure that we're abiding in that place. Thank you, Lord. James 4 tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to us. And then it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know why it says that right after that? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Because in that place, as we draw near to him, it's when he can correct us and let us know. That's the reason we don't have to be afraid to come just as we are. Because if we come just as we are, seeking him and wanting to be with him, then he will let us know those things that need to be taken care of. Those things that are not right in our life. Those things that we did that we turned our hard heart against, and we don't even realize now that that was wrong and that that was sin. But if we come to that place, there's light that comes, there's illumination that comes, there's revelation that comes as we spend time with the Father. God tells us that knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So as we grow in the knowledge and the intimacy of him, we have an understanding of who he is, of who we are, of those things that we need to do, of those things that are not right. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. He made God his first priority. I want to read Psalm 63 because it gives us keys about what intimacy with the Father is. You know, Apostle Leon and his word about coming up to his word for the Lord, a word of the Lord for the new year, coming up into a higher level right where you're at. And he ended his word with coming to a higher level with intimacy with the Father. And this is what he said. He said, God, our Father just wants to sit and have tea with you. Tea time with the Father. Be real, be open, be ready. And be glad. I can read my scriptures. I can sing a song. I can pray for 4 hours. And I can walk away and not have intimacy with God. Because it's a heart issue. It's not about doing the work. It's about being with my Father. And when I pray, it's about being with him. And when I worship, it's about being with him. And when I read the word, it's about being with him. We know the prodigal son, you know, the one that ran away and took his inheritance and squandered everything. And he came back and he asked the father to forgive him. But the son who stayed, he said, you know, I served you all these years. I did everything I was supposed to do. I followed every commandment. But you know what? He didn't have intimacy with his father. We know Mary and Martha. One had a priority to sit at his feet. God was in the house. Or I should say Jesus was in the house. Jesus was in the house. Both of them that were there. One was busy up doing. And she was doing good things. But she wasn't doing the God thing. Mary sat at his feet. Her priority was just to sit at his feet. Sometimes we women have to just let things go. We have to let things go. He's our priority. Psalm 63. I've only got a few more minutes here. I want to try to stay on time for Dr. Janet and for the schedule. I like what you guys are doing here. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. There's reverence there. Oh God, you are my God. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. My soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. You know, there's so many people that are out there hurting. And all of us go through things and have those times. And where we first need to go with that hurt, with that disappointment, with that rejection, is to our Father and share it with him. We stuff it. We're really good about stuffing it because our lives are so busy. And so we stuff the hurt and we stuff the rejection and we stuff the pain and the disappointment. And we just pretend like everything's okay. And that eventually there's a huge breakdown or an explosion. Because we don't come to Him. We're to go to Him and share everything first. We can't go even to our spouse. I can't share everything with my husband, but I can with my Father. And I come just as I am. And there I find healing. There I find order. There I find my identity. So it says, early will I seek you. To have intimacy, we have to seek Him. We have to make Him a place of our habitation. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. There's desire there. Do you desire Him? He desires you. He delights in you. We have to pursue Him. In the time of the wilderness, and this is when this psalm was written. David was in the wilderness, and he wrote this in the time of dryness and barrenness. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. He made him a priority. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied. And as we come and as we seek and as we desire him, as we make him our priority, my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions shall be satisfied. That's where I find that place of rest. I find that which I need, that which I've been searching for and I've been longing for, and I've been searching in all the wrong places and all the wrong people, stuffing myself with all the wrong things. And it's in him that my soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. It's where I find my joy, because in his presence is fullness of joy. I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Because he is my help, I come to him again and again and again. Because I know that he's my source. Because I've learned from experience that he is my source. I've learned that he is a good father and that he loves me. Therefore, in the shadow of your wing, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. I find strength in him and intimacy with him. And then it goes on to, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. There we find our defense as we come to him. Psalm 139 is all about him knowing us. And it ends, let's go there real quick, if I can find it. Okay. It tells about how he searched us and he knows us. He knows my sitting down and my rising up, that there's no place that I can hide from him. But it ends, and this is what I want to read to you about. When you come into that place of intimacy, of knowing him, of really trusting him, because it's about trusting him and committing and surrendering yourself to him, knowing that he's the good father. Again, it's not about knowing about him. It's about knowing him. It's not about giving lip service. It's about your heart coming to him. Verse 23 of Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Years and years and years ago, it was a long time ago, my husband went to work early, early in the morning, and that morning I dropped to my knees, and that's not usually what I did, but that morning I went to my knees, and I just started thanking God. And the more I thanked him, the more I had to thank him for. And in that place of thanking him, that was a beautiful fall that year. And I was just thanking him for the colors and the beauty and the fragrance of the fall, all those things. And the more I thanked him, the more I had to thank him for. And then in a few minutes, all of a sudden I was so aware that of the goodness of him. And I saw myself for a minute through my eyes. And I said, and what do you get in return, God? You get this screwed up mess. That's what I said to him. You get this screwed up mess. And immediately, the father said to me, no, Ina, You're my beautiful bride. I see you through my blood. I see you as you're becoming. That's what intimacy is all about. Coming to know Him and see yourself as He sees you, so that you can go forth in the knowledge of Him, in the greatness of Him. Now, I had a choice that morning to get up off the floor and say, I'm that screwed up mess. Oh, I'm just never going to get it right. But no, I heard what He said, and I aligned with what He said. Now, I still mess up, but I'm not that screwed up mess. I'm His beautiful bride. I am His beautiful bride. I am His beautiful bride. You are His beautiful bride. And He sees you through His blood. He sees you as you're becoming. And He has placed greatness in you. And He wants you to know Him as never before. This is a year to know Him, to come up to a higher level of intimacy and fellowship, relationship with Him, and to know Him as He wants to be known. To know that He loves you, and for Him to know that you love Him. You agape Him. You agape Him. His definition of love. And this is eternal life, to know Him. Thank you. Thank you.